read from the Psalm 63. It goes like this. So open up your Bible, and I'm going to read from the Psalm 63. It's ESV version. It says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed, and I meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me, but those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depth of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouth of a liar will be stopped." Amen. Hey guys, I want to share something before we start the praise. You know, my back has been hurting a lot. So in the morning, instead of praying downstairs with our Korean members, I came here so they can lay down on my belly. Because, you know, I don't want them to step over me when they exit the building, right? So I came up here to, and then I realized something happened. You know what happened? You know, I only use my phone for a lot of things, right? For cell phones, for texting, and usually when in the morning is the time that I get very creative, and also then I pray, and then as I'm praying, sometimes the Holy Spirit, you know, places names of my members in my head, and then I just text them, you know, as I pray. And then, you know, so I was kind of doing my regular stuff in the morning, right? And the praying. And then all of a sudden, you know, this phone, right, that I was with, which, you know, I was reading scripture, you know, listening to scripture and texting people. And all of a sudden, I'm watching something on the YouTube during my prayer time. Can you guys believe that? It's because I also do a lot of other stuff with this phone, right? And it becomes almost automatic, right? All of a sudden, without even thinking about it, my finger knew what to do exactly, and then just like I was just on the YouTube stuff. The excuse was, you know, I was looking for something, right? And then it just, you know, so you know what I did? I threw the phone away. That's what I did. I threw the phone off the side, not too hard, right? I still have this phone, and it's not cracked or anything. But I threw the phone off the side and said, "Wow, this is crazy," I thought to myself, right? But then it's possible. Hey, we do a lot of things with our mind. We do a lot of things with our hands. We do a lot of other things with our hearts besides worshiping, besides following, besides thinking about God. We do a lot of our stuff. And you know how easy it can be for you to be distracted, even in your mind, even with your heart, even with your hand, even with your lips, as we come and gather together to worship God. It's very easy for us to be distracted. So all the more, I want to say, let's turn off the cell phone, right? Let's turn off the cell phone. Yes, let's turn off the cell phone. I'm not forcing you to, but I'm asking, because you know it's very easy for us to scroll up and down and find ourselves being distracted. Let's start with that before we even think about, you know, bringing the focus to our God through our minds and heart. I think we have to start with the cell phone. That's one thing I thought about. David had a full focus in the psalm today as we read. He had nothing. He ran away for his life in the desert place, in that desert place, in that desolate place, in that lonely place when he was one-on-one with God. He was able to focus on God. I pray that this morning will be that place for you. I don't know. Maybe you're very lonely throughout this week. Maybe throughout this week you face a lot of despair and it sank in your heart. I don't know. Maybe it's the sadness, the thought of sadness just clouded over your minds and your heart, and you emotionally you're very unstable throughout this week. I don't know. If you're in the place, I encourage you to make a step closer, just like David did. And let's seek our God together, for He is with us. for he listens, for he is compassionate towards those who are broken and hungry. So let's praise God together and let us focus on him today. So let's pray together as we open up the worship. Let me open up with the prayers. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning to help us. Father, we came by your grace, according to grace, according to riches of your goodness, Father God. We came. You led us to this place. But you know us, Father God. Our life is very, very cramped with a lot of stuff. It's been overcrowded for a long, long time. But it is, I know that, Father God, it's almost impossible for us to have the focus, the kind of focus that you deserve. So we are asking honestly in this morning, Father God, help us to look up to you. Help us to open our eyes so that we may engage with the living God this morning, Father God. Father God, I desire so much for your Holy Spirit to, Father God, to just really pour out in this place for us to find ourselves rejoicing in your grace, rejoicing in your salvation, rejoicing in your spirit, Father God, rejoicing, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ that saved me. So pray in the name of Jesus Christ for this morning. Would you help us to worship you? Would you help us to become a family together, Father God? Would you help us? We need you. So Spirit of God, help us. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, praise team. Thank you. Can you turn on the lights? Okay, thank you. Okay, good morning, guys. I'm very excited to once again to be with you all. Sandra, good seeing you. And oh wow, it's good to be in the house of God. Indeed, it's good to be in the house of God. Guys, this week was a very emotional one for me in many reasons. There's things that happened in the house, Vodaga, and also things as a father, you know, things that, you know, as I watch my sons, you know, getting into a lot of, you know, dispute and struggles to, you know, find, you know, the point of, you know, reconciliation and also the compromise. It was a very painful experience for this week. I don't want to say spill out the details in public for me. I can share with you in the on the private. You know, it's this was Pastor Johnny's last week. You know, he was ever so slowly packing his stuff. I was like, Pastor Johnny, you're gonna pull all nighter on your last day. And then, yeah, he is. He's just he's pulling all nighter. I know that he was up late last night, and now he's gonna. I think he's gonna pull all nighters again this morning tonight. So, you know, somebody I've been working with. Don, can you turn down the main volume just a little bit, just main volume? And as I serve God together with him for just, you know, about a year and a half. You know, he's been a good friend. And then, you know, we share office together. And then just having to, you know, just lose him like that. I was just kind of like, I don't know. It was just like, wow, what am I to do with all the whole room by myself now? It's just, it's going to be very empty without him. So it's somewhat emotional. And I don't know how was your week. I don't know whether you had a very emotional week like I did, or whether you had a very hard and tough week, whether you've been very sick, so you're just coming out of it. You've been really desperately praying for something, and you haven't heard from God yet. I don't know where you are, but one thing that I'm certain is that you are in a good place today. It's good to be in the presence of God together. And I'm so glad that you're all here this morning. We are going to look at the same passage as last Sunday. So it's going to be book of Luke chapter 5. Book of Luke chapter 5 verse 1 through 11. And let's try same thing that we did last Sunday, which is alternate reading. So I will read the one verse and you guys read the next following. So here we go. We'll be reading from the ESV version. If you don't have Bible with you, we should have the scripture verses on the screen. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that there they had taken. Let's read together the last verse. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed them. Amen. I think it's just not me who had a very emotional week. I've been following closely the case of Bill Cosby. I know that his sentence was pronounced this week. You know, I simply grew up watching him. You know, I listened to his stand-up comedy, and then I used to watch his Cosby shows, right? It was very fun. I loved it. And you know, when this case, his offenses were, you know, just being surfaced, it was just really painful to hear all that. And you know what happened this week? So he's 3 to 10 years. He's 80 something years, right? And he has sentenced for 3 to 10 years, and it really, it was really sad, right? And I think people were very angry. A lot of people were angry. There are a lot of angry people, you know, because the image that he put up, right, in public place, was also the setup that is what he also used to set himself, right, to manipulate, people and a situation to his advantage and to his favor. You know, as watching him had a long face, you know, I questioned myself. You know, what causes man, right? What causes man to put up such a long face towards the end of his life? You know, what causes man to regret in such way? You know, why did I dwell on it so much? Because I know why. I didn't have to think even deep into it. Because Christian community has been rocked by similar issues with pastors. Pastors nowadays having such integrity issues as well. You know, in Korea, in the States, you know, there are a lot of, you know, very famous evangelists. You know, they haven't fallen to the temptations and having affairs here and there. You know, in my college years, I was attending the UMC church, and this church had a very wonderful pastor. I absolutely loved his teaching, and I joined him for the Tuesday 11 o'clock Bible studies with communities, and I loved it, and I went there every day. That's the church I went every day at 3 o'clock to pray. And he was going to the mission trip, and then on the way to mission trip, something got changed, and so he came back and he preached on, you know, what God changes the plan, and it was great. And then I had a Bible study with him on Tuesday, and on that Bible study Tuesday, now I'm able to connect all this because now this thing is in the past. But at the time, he was dealing with us with this question: was Paul wrong? You know, because Paul shared with the elders in Ephesus, like, "Hey, God is leading me to Jerusalem, and all these prophetess, you know, came and said, no, if you go there, you will die. You will die. And then, so the question was Paul wrong to go there? Was Paul wrong to share with this piece of information with us, the congregation? So we talked about it, and I said, you know, I think it's, well, I don't remember exactly what I shared. And I said, you know, I think it was problem was trusting God. That's why, that was my point. And after he wanted to talk to me, after Bible study was done, but he didn't allow, then following Sunday, he was gone. And then the bishop came to church and to let us know that he admitted he had an affair with one of the church members, so he's resigning. And then I was like, wow. Then I was like, wow, I know. Now I know what he was struggling with. And then it really broke my heart. And then, what causes a holy man to disappear? I asked that question. What causes a holy man to disappear? Or rather, what causes a holiness to disappear from sons and daughters of God? You know, this past week, I also had a privilege of talking to one of the, you know, long-lost member, you know, who's been away for a long, long time. And then we had an appointment, we talked, we gathered together, and he had the person had the questions for me, and then we talked about it, and then towards the end, we prayed together. And after we prayed together, the person tells me, wow, once again, I feel the Holy Spirit in my heart. And it feels so good. It feels so safe. I feel so like I'm in the right place. And I was like, wow. You know, what causes a Christian to lose the taste and appetite for Holy Spirit? And one thing that we talked about was, you know, about the person knowing where he is at. And it's really, really difficult for him or her to come back to God. And I share with him, you're absolutely right. Gospel you have, but the gospel you hold is half gospel. Because God's gospel tells us clearly about that we are all wicked, that we all sinful, that we all struggle with a sinful nature. But then the other half of the gospel that you've been forgetting is that despite of our sinful nature, in the place where we have deviated, we walked away from God, to that place God came. So when you look at yourself being, wow, I'm so wicked, I have turned my back to his grace, you also must be able to see God's grace, because Jesus is there with you. That's full gospel. Not only that we are sinful, but we are sinners who are loved by God by having Jesus Christ in our life. Now cling on to him, because he's going to take you back to where you need to. You know, we all have integrity issue. I have integrity issue. You know, something that I struggle a lot is, you know, the persona that I have to kind of project as pastors in public spaces, sometimes that does not match with, you know, what happens at home. You know, that is something that I was very aware of, because I grew up as, you know, pastor's kid. And I'm trying my best, but sometimes, you know, when I go home, I'm just tired. I just don't want to talk. And I'm not, maybe sometimes not as loving to my kids, to my wife, and it breaks me. You know, integrity issue. I don't know what is your issue. Are you dealing with some forms of a kinds of an integrity issue as Christian? I don't know. What are you struggling with? But we all do. But the good news is that gospel teaches us about faithful God who loves unfaithful people. Bible is from faithful God who wanted to communicate his love to very unfaithful people. That's what this beautiful book is all about. The story is from awesome, awesome God who keeps his promises at all time, loving the people who cannot simply keep their promises. What am I going to do? So God sent Jesus Christ. So God sent Jesus. And he's the one who we came to worship today, this morning. Look to him. I don't know whether what kind of issues you're dealing with in your heart. It's time for you to look up to him. Yes, it is good to know where we are. But it's not as important to lose the sight of Jesus Christ, who is right there with you. It's really good to know that we're sinners. We're really good to know how amazing his grace is. But it's not as important for us to lose the sight of Jesus Christ, who's right there with you, standing with you, struggling with you, reasoning with you, struggling to bring you back. So if you're dealing with some forms of integrity issues, you say one thing, you cannot keep it up. You say, God, I'm going to love you this week. I keep my promise this week, and you simply cannot. Well, you messed up. That's the bottom line. Yes, and you need Jesus. And you know what? He's right there with you. So look up. Look up to Jesus. The story that we read today is exactly that story. We read about Jesus Christ who came because he loved to the people who have integrity issue. These are the people of God, Israelite, quote-unquote, chosen people. Yet they have walked away from God. They have all the outlooks of being very religious, but yet they walked away. Their hearts was very far away from God. That's why God said, with your lips you praise me, but with your hearts you're not. That was a very condition, the state of where the Israelites had to welcome Jesus into. And Jesus knew exactly into what he was walking into. He knew that it was not going to be ugly. He knew that it was going to be ugly. He knew that it was not going to be pretty. But yet he chose to walk in, to be there with them. And what do we see? He's drawing people to him. And one thing that I want to focus with you to this morning is that where he went, the spaces he went, he created space. Wherever he went, he created spaces. The spaces were being created for people to press on him. In other words, to approach him. I see that as space of grace. And the sinners were allowed to approach the grace God. And wherever he went, a space was created where the truth to be told. The word of truth was told. Right? And wherever he went, the spaces created for sinners to repent. And wherever he went, space was created for them to hear the voice of God and to follow him. That's what we see again and again and again. It's creating space, creating atmosphere in which people feel comfortable to come. Peter today we find he had fear. Oh wow, I'm in the presence of a very divine being. And I like this translation from Message Bible. It says, do not yield to the fear. You don't need to. Come to me because I am going to take you. I'm not going to hurt you. Come with me. You know, wherever Jesus went, he created spaces. He created atmosphere for people to interact with Jesus Christ. That is what I want to focus. Because with that, I want to suggest a couple things that needs to happen in this English ministry that we have together. You know, for people had integrity issue, faith issue, Jesus came and he created space and he created his atmosphere. That's exactly what he did. For them to be feel safe to be broken and to be restored. For them to come and hear the word of God and then to commit to God. For them to come and serve together. And I believe that it is something that he left behind for us to carry on. And that legacy is called church today. Jesus went up. He ascended. And what remained? Church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Church is very ministry of Jesus Christ. Through church, throughout the church history, we've been creating that atmosphere and spaces for people to come together, gather together, to feel safe in their vulnerability, to feel safe to hear the voice of God, to feel welcomed into house of God, family of God, to feel encouraged to serve, to feel empowered to go out and shine the light. That's what we have to do as church. We have to create a friendly atmosphere for people to gather. We have to create a safe place to share a life, including vulnerable, challenging moments. We have to create holy atmosphere to allow Holy Spirit to minister and to lead. That's what we have to do. But that will not happen if you just come and just roam about and just walk away. Jesus came with intention. We need intention in our pursuit after Jesus Christ. So starting from second Sunday of October, we'll start something called Life Group. And this Life Group is for us intentionally gathered together in the afternoon after worship, for us to create that space which Jesus created for you and me, with the intention for us to share and to grow, to follow Jesus Christ. So Life Group is about creating that friendly atmosphere for us to gather together. That Life Group will be about creating safe space for us to share our life, including vulnerable, challenging moments. And that Life Group is going to be about creating holy atmosphere to allow Holy Spirit to minister and to lead. So starting from second Sunday of October, after lunch, all the guys of young adults and married couple, we gather together. And I have asked Deacon Shim so that he can also bring all other English speaking male in this church together. And they will gather together as one group, as one life group. And on the other side, we're going to have all the ladies, including single and married ladies, for together with my wife. She's going to lead that life group. And all the youth groups will come together with me for us to create that space and atmosphere. The goal, the expectation is simple: to be present, to share, and to grow. To be there, to share, and to grow. And I pray that as we get together with intention to carry on the ministry of Jesus Christ and to create the space and atmosphere, I believe that Holy Spirit is going to work. We have to grow together so that we can shine the light, so we can function as children of light. So starting from second Sunday of October, we're going to start Life Group. We've been talking about holiness. We've been talking about true worship. What is holiness? Holiness is Jesus Christ. It's clinging onto Jesus Christ. And what is true worship? As we talked about last Sunday, true worship is about following Jesus Christ. It can never just end here. One quote that I really love from my professor when I was in seminary school is that Sunday worship is prelude to true worship to take place throughout the week. I love that. You know, the beautiful thing that can happen as we gather together with the intention for us to grow together, to create a space for through which the Holy Spirit will minister, is that the Sunday becomes a day to empower your weekdays. And you weekdays are empowered, and you bring your struggles and challenges and your struggles, and you bring all that to Sunday, and it will make you desperate, and it will empower Sunday worship together. There has to be a healthy cycle. And that is exactly what we began to talk about this morning, is the issue of integrity. And with my desire is that with the starting up with the life group, that we'll get the integrity in place as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. And Sunday will be empowered, and your weekdays will be empowered, and we'll go out together to shine the light of Jesus Christ together. So today I want us to pray for that, and pray for what we are about to start, and starting in October, a life group. And let's pray together at this time. And if you are dealing with some kind of integrity issues in your life, bring that to Jesus Christ right now. Bring it to Jesus Christ. Let him help you. It's good to know that where you are, but it's not important enough for you to lose the sight of Jesus Christ. Let us at this time to engage with Jesus Christ. Let's close our eyes. I'll invite